of Life. Brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Let's drop in at the dozens first. Seems Ma's away, and Daisy and Unky are elected to do the family wash. Unky doesn't seem very willing.
Oh, nothing doing, Daisy. Every time we're supposed to do some work together, I always wind up doing everything.
Why, Unky, you know Duz does everything in our wash. Just like Ma says. It's one soap for everything, from the dirtiest to the dangerous.
I know, but just the same,
Well, the least you could do is help with the things you got dirty.
Well, that's fair enough. Call me when you get to my overalls.
But we're starting with the colors, Unky.
Well, them's all yours. Your pink rayon doodads and your slips and stuff.
There's your nice colored shirts, too. Unky, you know I like you in blue.
Aw, shucks.
And Duz leaves those colors so lovely. Ma says it's safer for colors than any of the other leading wash day soaps. Now, let's sort out the towels.
Oh, but
did get some towels dirty, didn't you, Unky?
Of course.
And when you hang them out...
What?
Put them where the neighbors can see how wonderfully white Duz does them. Ma'd like that. She says no soap can beat Duz for whiteness.
Well, she's right about that.
Then we'll tackle all those overalls and work shirts you and Pa got so dirty.
Oh, gosh.
Now, Unky, Duz will get them clean easy. You won't have to do any hard scrubbing. That tough dirt will just fly. Why, we'll be through in no time.
Especially when you got me and Duz doing everything.
Well, Unky's lucky he's got Duz. It really does more. From the top to the bottom of the wash basket, Duz does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. The scene is Ella Fitzpatrick's office on the ninth floor of the New York Dispatch Building. Seated behind her desk is the nationally known recipe columnist. Standing beside her is her secretary, Miss Brace.
Miss Fitzpatrick, I hope you don't mind my asking. My curiosity is really getting the best of me.
Curiosity? About what, Miss Brace?
That gentleman who came to see you about the broadcast.
Oh.
Are you actually going to be on the radio?
Why, thanks for reminding me. I almost forgot.
Yes, I am going to be on the radio next week.
How wonderful.
Yeah, I think so, too. Mr. Norris asked me for tonight, but of course I can't make it on account of my lecture.
What program is it, Mrs. Fitzpatrick?
Why, I don't know the name of it, but it's some kind of forum on station WEBT. Well, here's the paper. I'll look it up on the radio page. Maybe you'd like to listen to it tonight, and tomorrow you can tell me what it's all about.
I'd love to.
It wouldn't be a bad idea for me to know a little bit about what goes on that program. Carol might like to listen, too. Let's see now. That's funny. I can't seem to find any forum listed in the paper.
I'll get the station on the phone for you if you'd like.
Right, girl, that's what you do.
Ella Fitzpatrick's office. Please connect me with station WEBP, will you?
They're getting it. Oh, I've always wanted to be on the radio. I'd like to have a program of my own someday and tell all the ladies...
Hello? One moment, please. Miss Fitzpatrick calling.
Thank you, dear. Hello? Yes, yes, you can help me. I'd like a little information, please.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'd like to know what time that public service program of yours goes on tonight. Why, the one that discusses outstanding topics of the day.
What's that?
No discussion program tonight? Oh, you must be mistaken. Perhaps you'd better connect me with someone else. But the manager himself was just here in my office and told me about it. Well, I don't know the name of it, but Mr. Norris said it's been on the air for 6 years. Mr. Norris, the manager.
What's that?
Loughlin? Well, don't you have anyone there by the name of Norris?
I see. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I must have made a mistake. Now, what do you think of that?
I don't understand, Mrs. Fitzpatrick. There is no Mr. Norris at WEBP, and they don't have a discussion program on tonight.
How do you account for it? I mean...
Well, oh, I sure fell for that one, didn't I? Oh, it's as plain as a nose on my face.
It is?
Of course. It was just a practical joke, that's what it was. Some of those boys in the editorial room are acting up again. But I'm not going to mention it to a soul. I won't give him the satisfaction of knowing I was fooled. No, indeed.
Well, pretty clever, though. I'll have to admit that. That fellow who came in here was mighty clever.
The man whose cleverness Ella Fitzpatrick admires so much deserves little credit for his work. Johnson Peck, alias War W. Norris, is a private detective employed by Dr. Carson McVicker, the woman whom Carol believes Jim loves. At this moment, Johnson Peck, unfortunately, is in the downstairs solarium of Neuropsychiatric Hospital. Standing opposite him are Tommy Sinclair and Jim Brent. Peck, who is waiting to see Carson McVicker, is having a difficult time trying to explain to Jim why he cannot give him the information he has for Carson.
I've already told you, Mr. Peck. I'm Dr. McVicker's assistant. Anything you have to tell her, you can certainly tell me. Oh, Tommy, you wouldn't mind walking over to the other end of the room for a minute, would you?
Of course not.
No, wait a minute, kid.
Yeah?
You don't have to go. You see, Doc, this is just something between me and Dr. McVicker personally.
I thought you said you were here to see her professionally.
I didn't say that.
Sure you did.
Well, maybe I did, but...
Why can't you talk to me about it?
Well,
You're trying to hide something from me, Mr. Peck. What is it?
Just a second, Doc. They're calling me.
Mr. Peck, Dr. McVicker is in the office now. You can go up if you want to.
If I want to? Sure. See you later, Tommy. Nice meeting you, Dr. Brent.
What's the matter, Dr. Brent?
Nothing, Tommy. Very strange man, isn't he? Wonder what he has on his mind.
What Johnson Peck had on his mind, he quickly related to Carson McVicker. Upon arriving at her office, he was ushered in immediately. Once he described what had just happened with Jim, he plunged into the information about Carol and Ella Fitzpatrick.
It was a pushover, Dr. McVicker. The maid at the hotel told me that Mrs. Fitzpatrick was the recipe columnist on the New York Dispatch.
Of course, that's how I heard her name. Well, go on.
Well, after that, all I had to do was call her office and tell her that I was the manager of a radio station and I wanted to talk to her. The secretary told me to come right over.
And?
I did. Went in, introduced myself, and told her that we wanted her to be on a broadcast tonight. When she said she couldn't make it, I invited her to appear next week. It was as easy as falling off a log.
How did you find out about Mrs. Brent being in?
I just told her that I wanted to send some broadcasting material over to her apartment tonight and asked if anyone would be home. She said she wouldn't because she was lecturing at a cooking class at some community house, but that she had a guest staying with her who would be in. So there you have it.
You're a very clever man, Mr. Peck.
Just routine.
What would have happened, though, if Mrs. Fitzpatrick hadn't had a lecture engagement for this evening? What would you have done if she'd accepted your invitation to appear on a radio program?
Very easy. I'd have just told her that the broadcast was originating out in Jackson Heights or somewhere in New Jersey. Traveling up and back would have killed the evening for her. Either way, you'd have come out all right, Dr. McVicker.
Yes, I can see that.
Well, you've got the information you wanted, haven't you?
That's right.
So I guess that just about finishes me up. In fact, it does finish what I had to do for you.
Not quite, Mr. Peck.
What do you mean?
I still have some further use for your services.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. First you said you wanted me to find Mrs. Brent for you. Then you wanted me to let you know when you could see her alone. Well, I've done both of those because I'm in this thing deep enough right now and I don't want to get in any deeper.
What are you talking about, Mr. Peck?
You know what I'm talking about.
I haven't the slightest idea. All I do know is that I want you to do one more thing. It's very simple, but if you feel that you don't want to handle it, I'm sure I can hire someone else.
What is it?
You tell me that Mrs. Fitzpatrick is going out to a lecture tonight, but you don't tell me when. I want you to stand across the street from her hotel, Mr. Peck, and see for yourself when she leaves.
Oh.
And there's something else. After she leaves, I want you to make sure that she's gone. It's quite possible that she may walk out of the hotel to mail a letter or buy a stamp or pick up a magazine and then return to her apartment. I wouldn't want that to happen if I were upstairs with Mrs. Brent.
You think of everything, don't you, Doctor?
When you're certain that Mrs. Fitzpatrick's gone, I want you to call me at my home. I'll be having dinner there with a friend.
Uh-huh.
When I get your call, I'll come.
With your friend?
Certainly not.
Well, what's the dinner date with the friend for? An alibi?
An alibi?
Yes, sir, Doc, you really do think of everything.
I'm afraid I don't follow you, Mr. Peck. You're
beginning to speak very peculiarly.
I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have opened my big mouth.
That's very confusing, Mr. Peck, but if you're willing to forget about it, I am.
Sure.
Very well. The moment I receive your call this evening, I'll leave the house and meet you somewhere. We'll decide that over the phone.
Okay.
Then, I want you to tell me everything you've seen and everything you might possibly hear between now and this evening. After that, you can take me to the hotel.
Look, Dr. McVicker, I go so far, then I stop.
Well?
I don't want to go inside of that hotel tonight, and I won't, no matter how much money you offer me.
I wouldn't want you to, Mr. Peck. I intend to do this alone.
The stage is now set. Although Carol Brent expects to entrain for Chicago tomorrow night, another fate awaits her this evening. Shortly after Ella Fitzpatrick leaves her, Johnson Peck will make a telephone call. 15 minutes from that time, Carson McVicker should meet Carol Brent. You are listening to Road of Life. Now, here's a story about a man who was sent to the store one day for a box of Dove for his wife. But he bought another soap. And say...
Was I ever in the doghouse? You should have heard my wife. You'd think she'd never heard of another soap in all her life.
Well, that's because there's never been a soap quite like Dove's before. You see, this new kind of soap does everything in the wash. And what's more, Dove has everything for dishes, too. Suds that stand up till the last dish is done, fast action on grease, and yet Dove is kinder to hands than any other leading wash day soap you can get. Does leaves hands so beautifully smooth.
Say, no wonder my wife bawled me out. Her hands are something she's mighty fussy about.
And the heaps of suds Does makes. Why, they just last and last. There's no need to keep on adding soap. And can Does cut tough grease fast? Say, Does just races through it without hard scrubbing, too. You see, that's why dozing the dishes is what ladies want to do. So remember, it's best to buy Does.
You're telling me?
Because in the dishpan, too, does everything. Yes, sirree. Be sure to listen when D-U-Z Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. We've licked the Japs, but we haven't licked the problem of getting the fats and oils we need for peacetime supplies. That's why used fat is needed now more than ever, so don't stop saving it. Every drop is so vitally needed, the government has still authorized your butcher to pay 2 red points for every pound. Save every drop of used fat every day.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.